As I speak to you today from this convention tent in Keswick, in the heart of the English Lake District, I cannot help wondering just where you are as you listen. My chief concern, however, is not where you are, but how you are. And I should not be surprised to learn of a restless seeking for something you do not now possess. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we meet today, knows all about this restlessness that fills your heart and mind. It's not new to him, just as it's not new to you. He mingled among it when he was on earth, and he found it everywhere he went. It was because of this that he said, in words we have already read together in this service, "Come to me, I will give you rest." Even as he spoke like that, men and women were turning to him and finding that his promise held firm. Down the years of time, people of every race and in every situation have accepted that invitation and proved that promise. I would like to think about our need of rest in relation to three situations of daily life. First, may I speak with you about what I will call rest in suffering. Suffering is one of the most widespread marks of our humanity in this 20th century. The sufferings of our fellow men in all parts of the world will fill a larger place in the prayers of 5,000 Christians here in Keswick this week than any other subject. What is more, in the churches from which we have come to be gathered here, we have worked and given for the relief of human suffering wherever it is found. Suffering holds within its grip thousands of those upon whom the folly of man has inflicted what they never deserved. Others suffer through loneliness or sickness of body or mind in ways which are without human explanation and baffling to human skill. The Apostle Paul shared this common lot of humanity, and on three separate occasions asked that his thorn in the flesh, as he called it, might be removed. He longed for rest from the tedious trial that it brought. The answer to his prayer was in those well-known words from God, "My grace is sufficient for you." And for Paul, that answer was enough. Surely he had heard his master say, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." If I may tell an old story from my native Lancashire, it will be about a boy called Charlie, whose teacher was a personal friend of mine. Charlie entered hospital diseased, but he knew where to find the rest he needed, for he knew Christ to be his Savior and his friend. One day, a middle-aged man was brought into the ward to await an operation. As evening drew on, Charlie heard sobs from this man's bed. Wondering how he could help, and he was only 9, he started to sing, so quietly, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, keep you. He is willing to aid you. He'll carry you through." A day or two later, this man had his operation. And as so often under the skill of the surgeon's hand and the goodness of God, was restored to health. But this was not to be for Charlie. When some days later his little body was laid to rest in Moses Gate Cemetery on the outskirts of Bolton, two nurses came from Charlie's ward to tell his parents what a help he had been to both patients and staff while in hospital. Charlie had heard the words of Jesus Christ, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." And the rest he had found had pervaded the ward where he did not lose his suffering. That same rest of heart is available today. Bring to him your body racked with pain, your mind torn with anxiety and fear, your life crushed and bruised under an alien authority. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And until that glory banishes the blemishes from a fallen world, the repeated invitation of the God who loves you is, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." Then what about rest in circumstances? For many of us, there's no problem due to suffering, yet we have no rest. The trouble is in our circumstances, we imagine. If only we could change our circumstances, all would be well. But we need to be careful. Every Christian knows that God is in control of the setting of his life. As each area of problem is brought to God in prayer, God will ease the burden or strengthen the shoulders that carry it. The worst reaction of all is to fall down within the situation. The Old Testament carries a striking picture of the subtle pressures that come upon the man who finds his situation overbearing. You will recall that during the days of Absalom's rebellion, Ahithophel, his counselor, asked for 12,000 men with whom he could pursue David the king by night. His plan was to come upon the king when he is weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic. The subtle snare is always the same. Are you weary and discouraged? Then beware. Satan knows how you are, and he has waited for this breakdown in your resistance. He plans to throw you into a panic. What are you to do? There is only one refuge. Bring all this to God in prayer. Turn to Christ, for his invitation is to you, and he will get down under the burden and you will lift it together. I know that we too shall win in the end, Jesus and I. Rest in suffering, rest in circumstances, and finally, rest from sin, not in sin. There is a deeper cause of unrest that we have not yet named. Sin is the root cause of all unrest. It breaks up families. It disturbs social life. It antagonizes people and nation. It sets a man against his brother. Most of all, it breaks the fellowship which God has made between man and himself. How we need rest from sin and sinning. Perhaps you are aware as you listen now of your own failure and mistake. It is one of the marks of Christian worship that men begin to see themselves as they are when they come into the presence of God, but only that they may be put right. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you not come to him now, bringing your failure and laying it down like a heavy load at the feet of his cross, where he died to put away our sin? This is the rest you need. And these are his words of gracious invitation. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Rest from the nagging sense of having failed. Rest in the knowledge that you are forgiven. What we have been saying in this brief address may be entirely new to you. You've never heard it before. If so, let me assure you that down the years of Christian history, men and women have been finding the truth of Christ's word as they have turned to him in their suffering or their circumstances and away from their sin. But I know that for many this theme is not new. Yet somehow the rest you once knew has slipped away, and in the rush of daily life, the calm and quiet of the Savior's presence seems to have eluded you. He has not left you. Closer than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet, he remains available today as ever. Let us pause, each one where we are, and in heart and mind, turn back to Jesus Christ. It is he who said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest."
So that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this fleeting world may rest on thee through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.